Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Today in the Visionary Chronicles, we're going to talk about positioning of your brand, which by design is effectively the positioning of your product, the service that you provide as a brand, but how to successfully position your brand or your product or your service. This is a big challenge, and many times I get asked this question in working with brands or having been with brands where they either want to reposition themselves from where they had been, or a new startup that would like to be positioned a certain way. And the challenge in both of these is just because you say you are a brand does not mean you are a brand. That's one thing that I always try to talk with startups and founders and entrepreneurs is that, you know, this is a great goal and initiative to have if you want to be a premium brand or one that's considered best in class. But it takes not only words, but a commitment to executing against that vision and being committed to it long term. So when we talk about what do we need to do in order to effectively position your brand, and what I want to talk about is the context of the brand as a whole, which means not only the product, the service that you provide, but also who you are, what you do, and why you do it. These are key areas to define when you're talking about positioning your brand. So when we look at these areas to effectively positioning your brand successfully, kind of broke it down into six different areas that I'd like to talk about today. And these are areas that with global brands that I've worked with, others that I've engaged with through Liquid Mind, each of these have been effective, but in combination have allowed them to execute their vision and the positioning for their brand. So when you look at positioning, it requires a defined vision for a startup. And I say this because when you look at putting words on paper, they're only words. Until you properly execute those and commit yourself to those long term, do you become successful. So there's two levels of this positioning. Predominantly, it's on the startup level, but you also have brands. Let's say, for instance, a great example is Puma. Puma had been a brand that had been dormant for many years. And people purchased the Puma brand and decided to bring it back to life. But they needed to have a very clear vision of how they wanted to reposition the Puma brand. So there's two levels to positioning. We've got the startup level, and then we've got the repositioning of an established brand. That's more challenging. It's easier, actually, for a startup. They have their own independent challenges. But the good thing I say with a startup is nobody remembers how they were positioned. The bad part is nobody remembers how they were positioned. So when you look at a startup, everything is brand new. So you got to build everything from scratch. But the vision is defined through the positioning and executing that vision in the marketplace consistently, effectively, and long term. On the other side, we're an established brand or a brand that's coming out from being dormant. That's one where you have very similar positioning expectations as if you were a startup. So let's take a look at these six areas. And the first is, you know, defining your tier. And when you look at it, there's nothing wrong, as I say, with being good or better, but you want to be best. You want to be best in class and at the top tier of your product category. It gives you a significant advantage in the marketplace beyond product. When you look at the good level, and we've talked about it many times before, your only real competitive advantage on the good is price. And there's always going to be a better price. As long as the Amazons are out there, as long as knockoffs are out there, there are brands or companies rather that are essentially built off the foundation of knocking off great products. So you're never going to be able to compete against that. So the good level is very challenging. Not only do you get compressed margins on your product, you have increased competition from a category perspective. So good is extremely challenging. Better is kind of the in-between. It could be a higher price point product. It could be a lower price point product, but effectively on the norm, you're kind of sitting between good and best. So I always talk about the best because that gives you a lot of latitude in regards to controlling your own destiny, being able to build innovative product that people have an expectation of you creating, commercializing, and putting in the marketplace. And it also, by the way, gives you much better margins, and it also gives you a loyalty much different than you would have with a good or a better brand. So there's a lot of advantages to building a brand from the start where your positioning is best. So we'll talk about this positioning, but that'll be effectively what we're looking at today. And when you look at a startup versus an established company or one that's coming out from dormancy, such as the Puma story, all three of these have these six traits in common. And the first is the vision, being able to establish the future path of your brand and how and who you are in the marketplace and what you want to be. So it's effectively like this infancy of saying, hey, we can start from scratch. How do we want to mold this company, the brand, and the overall culture of who we are and what we do? So the vision, first and foremost, is establishing the future path of your company and of your brand. And it's the most important aspect that you'll be leaning back on as you continue to build and grow your company. That is the anchoring statement and the anchoring piece of your foundation as a company that keeps you solid long term. You can always reflect back on what was our original intention and vision of what we were trying to achieve as a company or a brand. And look at all the great brands out in the marketplace today. And Nike is a great example. Nike started out with a vision to offer something that nobody else had in the marketplace and to have brand influencers that were authentic. Now, they had their ups and downs along the way, but they've been anchored in performance-driven products and a vision that their community embraces every day. And that vision has always been consistent. So consistency is key to establishing your vision. It builds loyalty with your community. So number one is establishing the vision of who you are, what you do, why you do it, and being able to commit to that vision statement. The second thing is commitment. Vision, commitment always follows vision. So you have to be committed to who you are and what you do. And there's always one thing I look at for brands as they continue to evolve and grow as a company is there's a lot of what I call temptation out there. If you're successful, the market is going great, and all of a sudden you get hit with something like we did last year, the COVID-19 or the financial meltdown, whatever it happens to be, we know consumers drive revenue. So what you want to make sure of is when you're committed to your vision is you're not selling out. Regardless of the circumstance, you should always have a plan in place that adapts to the environment that you're in. And I'll give you a great example of the COVID-19. As you've seen kind of this feast or famine side of working through the COVID-19 pandemic. And the companies that we work with Liquid Mind, we found that the ones that were successful, the ones that had a plan in place and or immediately adapted to the environment are thriving. The ones that what I call stick their head in the sand syndrome, hoping that things change when they pull their head out, are the ones that are floundering. So having a commitment not only to your vision, but also to your positioning once you establish that vision is not selling out regardless of the circumstances. Now, there will be many hard times these companies are going to go through as well as yourself, but you need to make sure that that commitment holds true and that people understand you do what you say. And the third piece of positioning is your brand ethos, who you are, and why you're different. Be different in the marketplace. And this can take people, processes, competition, culture, product. Being different doesn't just mean product. So when you look at brands that are successful, ones that have built a culture around their vision and how they position their brand are different. They hire different people. They hire high-performing people. They hire people that build a culture and are committed to the community. They find different ways to do things internally and externally. And a byproduct of that is a great product. So being different, defining your brand ethos and who you are and what you do is an evolutionary process relative to your vision. So you've defined what you want to be through your vision. You're committed to that vision. And then as a result, the loyalty is driven through your brand ethos that defines the community around who the brand is through people, processes, being different than your competition and embracing that, having a culture, and great products. So this is a thing that's defined, yes, but it's also a byproduct of being committed to your vision. So your brand ethos, it's kind of an evolution. And I go back to saying, hey, just because you say you're a brand doesn't mean you are a brand. It's kind of an earned right over many years. So the brand ethos is a piece of that puzzle that evolves when you're positioning your brand. So when you go out and hire new people, people already know, interestingly enough, you got great products, but they want to know what the brand stands for. So you should have a culture built around that through the ethos of who you are and defining how you're different in the marketplace. And it's a very distinct competitive advantage when you have that built and developed through the culture, product, people, processes, who you are and why you're different, the brand ethos. Number four is your competitive, what I call POD, your point of difference in the marketplace. Just because you want to be a best level or best in class product or processes doesn't mean that you are the best. So when you put your plan together of your vision saying you want to be best in class and you want to be at the top level of your product category and dominate that category of business on a global level, a key piece of that positioning is the competitive point of difference. And it's not related to a particular product. And I go back to a great example of one-hit wonders. You cannot be a one-hit wonder and have a competitive POD. You need to make sure that you, through your product and your processes, that you're consistently evolving through innovation. Disruptive ideas get implemented into the marketplace and taking risks. I always talk about taking risks, embracing risk. There's been no great product in the marketplace that hasn't embraced risk and gone through barriers of failure to eventually realize the vision of what that product was and can be to the marketplace. So a competitive POD is a significant part of positioning your brand. So have that definitive point of difference in what you stand for when you talk to your design team. Through the ideation process, the designers have to be inspired, not by what has already been created, but rather by what has not yet been created, and that's through your vision. And number five is fulfilling your commitment. You are committed to your vision. So make sure that you stick to your vision, don't sell out, and make sure that you're committed to your customer and you're committed to your product or processes performance that you've promised. So this is fulfilling your promises as a brand and as a company and as a product. Making sure that you come across as authentic within your category. You're a running company, make great running product. If you have a processes as a SaaS company, make the best processes or software where it's user-friendly and extremely powerful. So fulfilling your commitment to your customer and your product performance comes off as authentic, and you need to be consistently great on fulfilling your commitment. And number six is an extension of fulfilling your commitment, which is being authentic. Understand your customer, providing value beyond product. So You want to be authentic to your category? That comes through your competitive POD on your product. The defined vision is the overriding objective of the company, but the authentication comes through being committed, your brand ethos, your competitive POD, and fulfilling your commitments to the category and customer that you're selling to. Don't try to be something that you're not. It will not come across as authentic. So being authentic is a key component. If you're dedicated to your category, be dedicated to that product being best in class. So those are the six principles. Again, I'll just review them with you again. First is vision. Number two is commitment. Number three is an evolution of your brand ethos through those commitment and vision. Number four is a competitive POD. Five is fulfilling that commitment to your customers through product performance. Number six is being authentic within your product category. So each of these is defining your brand positioning. But defining your brand positioning is merely words on paper. Being able to commit to and execute your plan is the key. And again, just because you say you're a brand doesn't mean you are a brand. It's important to define your positioning. And it's more important to commit to the long-term execution and the generational success of your company and your brand. So be committed once you set that vision and all the other pieces fall in place. Would like to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles today. I really appreciate your time. And hopefully you've enjoyed the subjects that we talk about each week here on the Visionary Chronicles. And we feel it's very important. We understand that there's professional needs and support you need with your companies and with your brands. But we also appreciate the fact that you've got some personal needs. As leaders of companies and brands, there are many things that you have to deal with. And we want to make sure that we're addressing those as well. If you like what you hear, we would really appreciate subscribing to the Visionary Chronicles. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and Podbean. So we would really appreciate if you'd subscribe and look forward to bringing additional episodes to you each week. So again, thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Look forward to the next podcast.